Okay, welcome back to Story Time with David and Mommy.
And Winnie, who wants to steal the sun chips.
And Winnie, who wants to steal sun chips. And David, who wants to eat all the sun chips. Do you know what kind those are that you're having?
No.
Harvest cheddar.
Oh, these are my favorite then.
We are continuing on with Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Chapter 17, Captain Nemo's Revenge.
Can we do four chapters?
Well, I don't know how many are left. We're almost done with the book. After the bloody battle with the squid, I came to realize that I could no longer stay on board the Nautilus. But I had to try one last time to see if Captain Nemo would let us leave willingly. I found him in his cabin, bent over his work table, writing. He frowned as I entered.
What are you doing here? He demanded. I'm busy working.
Monsieur, I said calmly, I have to talk to you about something which cannot wait.
Monsieur Aronnax, what I am doing cannot wait either.
Am I being too loud for you?
No, I don't want to hear this part.
Why not?
Because I will be deaf.
You'll be what?
Deaf.
Deaf? But you don't know what they're going to say.
I watched the movie.
Oh.
This book I am writing contains all my studies on the sea. With God's help, it will not die with me. The book is signed with my real name and tells the story of my life and work. It will be sealed in a small, unsinkable box and will be thrown into the sea by the last man to survive on the Nautilus when her end comes.
Captain, I agree that your studies must not be lost, but who knows where the currents will take the box? Perhaps I could keep this book for you if you gave us our freedom.
Monsieur Aronnax, cried the captain, I will say now what I said 7 months ago. Whoever enters the Nautilus never leaves it. Now get out of here and never speak to me of this again.
When I reported the captain's words to my two friends, we all agreed that escape was now urgent. We were only a few miles off the coast of New York. What better chance could we hope for? But just before dark, a hurricane hit New York. Rain was beating down in torrents, and winds were gusting up to 100 miles per hour. It would be suicide to risk an escape in a sea with 50-foot-high waves. The storm drove us far out into the North Atlantic. We were all in a state of despair as the Nautilus headed east across the ocean. By June 1st, we were 300 miles from the coast of Ireland, cruising on the surface. I was in the lounge reading when I heard
How many chapters are in here?
I don't know. At least 17. When I heard a dull explosion outside the ship, I rushed up on deck and found Ned and Conseil already there.
They're firing at us!
Cried Ned as he pointed at the ship 6 miles away.
It looks like a warship, and I hope it comes and sinks this cursed Nautilus.
Just then another shell hit the water. Why are they firing at us? I cried. We didn't attack them, for... Then suddenly everything became clear. Commander Farragut probably had reported to the world that the Narwhal was really a submarine, and warships were now searching every ocean for this terrible ship. I finally had to admit that Captain Nemo was really using the Nautilus for revenge. He was attacking the ships of the world regardless of their country. And that night he locked us in our cell and drugged us. It was probably to keep us from seeing an attack. And the sailor now buried in the coral cemetery was probably wounded in a collision. There was no other explanation. Part of Captain Nemo's mysterious life was becoming clear, but so much was still unexplained.
Perhaps we can signal them, said Ned. Maybe they'll understand we're friends.
He took out his handkerchief to wave in the air. But no sooner had he unfolded than his arm was struck by a fist of iron.
You fool!
Cried Captain Nemo.
Do you want me to nail you to the spur of the Nautilus before we ram that ship? Go below immediately, all of you!
Captain, I protested, are you really going to attack this ship? Captain Nemo's face was twisted with rage as he replied,
Monsieur, I am going to sink it. They have attacked me, but my attack will be even more terrible. They shall all die. They are the killers, and I am the victim. Because of them, I lost everything I ever loved, my country, my wife, My children, my father, my mother! I saw all of them die! Everything I hate is there! Now shut your mouth and go below!
I just want Captain Nemo to just shut up.
Well, we don't say shut up, honey. I know it's in the book, but...
I said it because he was a really bad person.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, he's a complicated guy, isn't he? Like, he's got some good qualities, but he's got a lot of bad ones.
Yep. Yeah.
He's not like John Silver. John Silver was also complicated, but I think John Silver was selfish more than anything else.
Yeah.
He was very charming, but he was out for himself. And Captain Nemo cares about his crew, and he cares about, like, he has been giving treasure to some people who live on the land. Yeah, some freedom fighters in a different country. So it's not that he doesn't care about anybody but himself, like Silver.
Silver cared about gold.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he cared about. Yeah.
And Silver was just using the people around him and manipulating them into doing what he wanted them to do.
Yeah.
But Captain Nemo isn't like that. He just wants revenge.
Revenge!
I think that
like
he...
That. Yeah. He's like, shut up and revenge!
Mm. But remember, we don't say shut up, but we say be quiet.
How about we just say, shut up, shut your mouth, and revenge!
How about close your mouth? Are you being Captain Nemo when you say that?
No.
No? Oh, you're talking to Captain Nemo when we say that?
No. I'm like making... how do I say it?
I don't know.
Never mind.
Okay. We raced down to my cabin. Once the door was closed, I gasped. We must escape. He's gone mad. We must try to warn that ship.
Then let us prepare to leave as soon as it is dark, said Ned.
Night came, but our opportunity to escape did not. Captain Nemo stayed on deck until dawn when the warship's cannon began firing again. Then Captain Nemo gave the order to dive. I realized that he was planning to ram the warship from below where it was not protected by heavy steel plates. My friends, I said to Ned and Conseil, this terrible day of June 2nd is beginning. May God save us. The Nautilus' speed increased to the point where its entire hull trembled. Suddenly I felt a blow and I heard the steel spur pushing into something and scraping sounds. The Nautilus had gone right through the hull of the warship like a needle going through a piece of cloth. I couldn't stand it any longer. I rushed into the lounge, half out of my mind. Captain Nemo was standing there, silently gazing out of the window. The huge warship was sinking below the surface.
Did anyone survive?
I don't know.
And the Nautilus? Commander Farragut did.
Well, I don't think this ship had Commander Farragut on it, because he probably went back to port.
Well...
This was a warship, and his was a different kind of ship, I think. The huge warship was sinking below the surface, and the Nautilus was following it down to watch its death struggle. The sailors were climbing up the masts, trying to save themselves, but their bodies finally floated free as the sea pulled them down.
Bobby, look at it. Get it!
It's silly. I was frozen with horror and unable to catch my breath. When the ship hit the ocean floor, Captain Nemo turned away. He opened the door to his cabin and went inside. Through the open door, I saw him go over to a portrait of a young woman and two small children. He gazed at it for several minutes, then clutched it to his chest. With the portrait still in his hands, he sank to his knees and burst into deep sobs.
What?
He started crying. He was looking at a picture of a woman and two kids, and he started crying.
That must be his.
Yeah.
Wife and his kids.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm starting to hate Commander Farragut.
You mean Captain Nemo?
No, or... Commander Farragut.
Why?
Because he killed his wife.
Oh, no, no, no. So Captain Nemo is a little crazy. So, and we don't get the whole backstory here for what happened to Nemo. So we have to kind of piece it together in our minds. So he was a really very, very rich guy who had a wife and children and a family. And what we do know about him is that he hates people. He hates people who live on land. That's a... the name for that is a sociopath, someone who hates people.
I don't think he hates divers.
No, I don't. I mean, he saved the pearl diver. So I think that what he hates is people who live in like a society that has cars and roads. It's called an industrialized society. So I don't think he hates people who don't have a whole lot, who are very poor, who don't live in an industrialized society. But people who live in more industrialized societies, I think that he hates
like them. Just like a big house and the front door leads to a dock. And then there's like scuba diver gears.
So we,
that house?
We don't know why he's sinking ships, but something happened where his family, his whole family died. And he said he lost his family and he lost his country. So his country must have been destroyed as well. And it was probably during a war.
World War I.
So my guess is that he was probably a sailor who was on a ship and who was involved in a war. And his side probably ended up losing the war. And it may have been that his, like, the land was bombed while he was out to sea and his whole family died. But he's decided that everybody, not Commander Farragut, everybody who lives on land in an industrialized society are people that he hates. Except for, you know, people who are poor and people who are freedom fighters.
Who was the one
which
with
is
the
not
fish
necessarily
in his
good
name?
People.
With the one with the fish in his name.
With the what?
The human with the fish in his name.
The fish in his name? Was he the one that Nemo was giving the treasure to?
No. He waved to him.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what his name was. So that's what he was saying. You know, it's their fault, that warship's fault. He means that it's everybody else's fault. You know, and so people who, he's a little crazy. That's the thing. Like, he's a sociopath. So he had a big, awful experience. And because of that, he decided that he hates everybody, which is pretty terrible. No, that's not a good way to handle that.
He doesn't hate people that just have a house that's poor and then the front door leads to a dock.
I don't know if he hates those people or not. I mean, I think he probably would. He probably wouldn't hate people who live in shacks.
Who aren't shacks.
Like if we lived in our shed. Remember those pictures that I showed you of people in India who were extremely poor, who lived in shacks?
Yeah,
or in Sudan. he probably wouldn't hate those people, but he hates everybody else. So he's a sick man. He needs some therapy.
Does he even hate curtains?
Probably he would
hate. Does he hate himself?
I think he probably does hate himself, yeah. Usually people like that do hate themselves. All right. I think this is the last chapter. Should we go ahead and finish off the book?
Yes.
Chapter 18, Escape. The Nautilus continued on its way as if nothing had happened, but my feelings of horror towards Captain Nemo stayed with me. No matter how much he had suffered at the hands of his fellow men, he had no right to finish them the way that he had. I no longer saw the captain at all. We stayed underwater for the next 20 days, surfacing only to renew our air supply. Our position was no longer marked on the map, so I had no idea where we were. One morning, I awoke to find Ned leaning over me. In a low voice, he said, "Our chance has come. I went up on deck when we surfaced and made out some land about 20 miles to the east. Meet us at the dinghy at 10 tonight."
Got it, 10 tonight.
I'll be there, Ned, I replied. The rest of that day seemed to last forever. I didn't dare leave my cabin for fear of meeting Captain Nemo or having him see the horror I felt for him. But at 7 o'clock, I went to the lounge to take one last look at the wonders of nature and art collected there. I felt a stab of regret that these treasures would one day be destroyed at the bottom of the sea, along with the man who had gathered them. Then I returned to my cabin and dressed in my thick sea clothes. I gathered up my notes and tucked them carefully inside my jacket. My heart was beating fast, and I was unable to control my nerves. I tried to stretch out in my bed and relax. All the events of the past 10 months on board the Nautilus passed before my eyes. The disappearance of the Abraham Lincoln, the underwater hunting expeditions running around at Torres Strait, the attack by the cannibals of New Guinea, the coral cemetery, the tunnel beneath the Suez, the diver and the gold bars at Crete, the treasure at Vigo Bay, the lost continent of Atlantis, the Great Ice Barrier, the South Pole, the digging out of the ice tunnel, the fight with the squid, and the attack on the warship, watching it sink with all hands. Before I knew it, it was almost 10 o'clock. I opened my door and crept down the gangway towards the lounge. Soft, sad music was coming from the organ. Captain Nemo was in there, and I had to pass him to get out.
What?
Captain Nemo was in his room playing the organ, and Professor Aronnax has to sneak past him in order to get to the dinghy. He's got to go past him. Yep, he's got to go around him to get to the dinghy. I crept across the darkened room without being noticed. Just as I reached the door to the library, Captain Nemo struck one resounding chord on the organ and cried out in the darkness the last words I ever heard from him.
Almighty God, enough! Enough!
Was he finally regretting? I didn't have time to think now. I rushed through the library, onto the companionway, and up into the dinghy. Ned and Conseil had bolted the hatches behind me. Just then...
I'm taking off my shoe.
Okay.
I finished this one.
Ned started to loosen the bolts holding the dinghy to the submarine. We heard voices talking excitedly inside the Nautilus. Had someone discovered our escape? Were they looking for us? No. One word that the crew kept repeating over and over told me what was causing all the excitement. The maelstrom! The maelstrom! The maelstrom? Could any more frightening word reach the ears of any sailor? The maelstrom, off the coast of Norway, was the most violent whirlpool in the world. No ship had ever escaped its raging current. Was the Nautilus to be dragged down into its depths just as we were escaping? Had the Nautilus been caught up in the maelstrom by accident? Or was this some plan of Captain Nemo's? I had no more time to think. The Nautilus started spinning around and around in smaller circles, and the dinghy was still attached to her on the hull and was carried with her at an incredible speed. We were terrified. Our blood stopped circulating. Our nerves were numb. We were at death's door.
We have to screw the bolts back down, gasped Ned. It's our only chance.
But before he could finish, we heard a loud crack. The bolts had broken. The dinghy was torn from the ship and thrown into the middle of the whirlpool like a stone hurled from a slingshot. Oh, no. My head hit the side of the iron dinghy and I lost consciousness. What happened that night, how we escaped the whirlpool and survived, neither Ned nor Conseil nor I could ever say. When I came to, I was lying in a fisherman's cottage on one of the islands off of the coast of Norway. My two friends tearfully embraced me the moment I opened my eyes. Thus ended the voyage, which took us 60,000 miles, or 20,000 leagues, under the sea. Will people believe me? I do not know. But for 10 months, I had traveled under the oceans of the world and gazed at their many wonders. What became of the Nautilus? Did it escape the maelstrom? Is Captain Nemo still alive? If so, has he finished with his terrible revenge? Will the seas one day wash up the book containing his life story? Will I ever find out his real name? Do you remember what Nemo means?
No.
Nemo means nobody. I hope so. I also hope that the Nautilus survived in that terrible whirlpool where so many other ships were wrecked. If it has, and if Captain Nemo still lives in the ocean, then I hope with all my heart that his hatred for the world has come to an end. I hope that he is peacefully exploring the seas and will one day share his vast scientific knowledge with the whole human race. The end. Wow. This shows where they traveled.
Did they go here?
Mm-hmm. They went through there. This is what Suez about Canal. Here? It's India. Yep. There's Ceylon, Pearl Fisheries, Coral Cemetery, Australia, Torres Strait, New Guinea, Pacific Ocean.
Costa, did they go through Japan. Here?
They came near there. So Hawaiian Islands, the ghost ship. So they came around the east. This is the west coast. This is the east coast of the United States. Battle of the Squid. Oh, that was down here. There's Florida, and it was right around, like, these islands here, which is, like, Cuba. The 20,000 Leagues of the Nautilus. What did we say? How much was a league? Was it, like, 100 papas?
No, it was 50.
50 papas?
Okay. No, 40.
40? 40 papas?
40.
So it was the...
20,000... leagues under
120,000 papas under the sea. Is that it?
You got it, you got it, you got it. All that work, and now...
So we finished. So what did you think of that book?
Amazing.
Amazing?
Yes. And this book is written by...
Jules Verne.
No, Robert Stevenson. Okay, so this book is read by Eric Ted.
Let me ask a question. What did you like about this book?
Squid Attack.
Was that your favorite part, the Squid Attack? Did you like anything else about the book?
No.
Did you like that it was...
Yeah, here's the picture,
Did you like that it was an adventure story?
No, I liked the Squid Attack the most.
Did you like... Well, that's an adventure part, right? Did you like the mystery part of it? Like, who is Captain Nemo and what's his story? The things that we don't know, we're not actually told. Did you like this one better than Pirates of the Caribbean? Better than Treasure Island? Or did you like Treasure Island better than this one?
I can't tell.
That's okay. We'll have to pick a new book to start.
Mommy, this is one picture of the Squid Attack.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
It's pretty exciting. Battle of the Squid. All right.
And here's another one.
You say bye, podcast listeners.
Bye, podcast listener.
Bye, podcast listeners. We hope you enjoyed reading 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
You mean 20,000 Robert Louis Stevenson's tackles.
I mean, what is it?
20,000 tackles under the sea.
160,000 papas under the sea.
Or 1,150,000 tackles under the sea.
Thanks for joining us. Join us next time for a new book. Bye!
Which I don't know what it is!
I know, it'll be exciting.
Bye!